Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy. Energizing dreams coming up. And consumers unhappy and with increased cost of electricity and water, but energy experts say it is a requirement to fill energy gaps to stabilize the system.
This is just a revenue requirement, and it is an overhang of 973 million or something like that.
50% of those under recoveries have also been added to this current tariff.
We'll hear from the PURC on this. Also coming up, police launches manhunt after two police officers are shot and killed by suspected armed robbers. Meanwhile, the Member of Parliament for Pinduri is demanding military deployment to the area.
They have vandalized every police checkpoint, visibility point, wherever the police used to sit, and then ensure that the security on our roads, on our neighborhood, and the likes have been destroyed, with the exception of the main police stations.
We have sports.
Police ladies are set to battle Ampim Dakuan ladies as they chase their first Women's Premier League title.
And also Accra responsible disease outbreak as the Metropolitan Assembly declares all landfill sites full. We have details as the AMA calls for a review of sanitation contracts to allow the assemblies to directly manage their waste. Also coming up, traders begin in the Shanti regional capital, Edum PZ, begin to pick up the pieces after that devastating fire destroyed an entire business enclave. But this afternoon, we ask, can Ghana break the fire cycle, or we are doomed to repeat?
Things are burning. People who have shops here, including the youth, are losing their money.
We have more coming up in our Fire Cycle series, recalling the recent fire market fires. These and more with me, Mami Sinyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. This afternoon, some utility consumers say they are unhappy with a recent upward adjustment to water and electricity tariffs for all categories of consumers. This is despite the explanation by the Public Utilities and Regulatory Commission, PURC, that the increment was in line with its quarterly tariff review mechanism and also based on four key variables, which are the CDUS dollar exchange rate, inflation, electricity generation mix, and the cost of fuel, mainly natural gas, in electricity production. Board member of the PURC, Nanaya Jantwa, and energy expert Ishmael Ejekumhene have both justified the adjustment, which is 14.75% for electricity and 4% for water.
This is just a revenue requirement that will allow an ECG to buy cables, to do BCD. That will help Gridco to repair transmission lines, to do maintenance, to put up substation. That will allow the generation companies to pay for generation through gas and all that. So this one is a revenue requirement that we are looking at. And it is an overhang of 973 million or something like that.
So depending on how inflation is trending and whether indeed there's a change in the generation mix, prices may either stay the same, go up or come down. But something that the regulator is talking about, which is the fact that previous quarters there were some under recoveries that were not passed through. Mm. But these under recoveries, they are trying to pass them through. So 50% of those under recoveries have also been added to this current tariff. And if they had attempted to recover all of that, the increment would have been higher than the 14.75 that we see.
Well, you heard the board member of the PURC, Nanaya Jantwa, and energy analyst Ishmael Ejekumhene speaking on the AM show and the Joy News desk, respectively. While consumers are not happy about this move, they tell Joy News the taps do not flow frequently and the frequency of having top-notch power is becoming alarming.
They should do something about it. It's very bad. How can you be paying school fees? You'll be paying a water bill. You'll be giving a feeding fee and all that, and you'll be paying increasing electricity bill. Yankasa pressure will come more dada. They should do something about it. We will leave Ghana.
I stay at Ashoma Estate. In every 3 weeks, my water flows only once in every 3 weeks. And I get monthly bills every month. So I don't understand.
We can also hear the views of residents in Kumasi.
Despite the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission announcing an increase in electricity tariffs by 14.75% and water tariffs by 4.02%, many Ghanaians continue to face frequent power outages and intermittent water shortages. We are on the streets to hear from the public. How are they reacting to the tariff hike amidst these ongoing challenges?
You want to increase electricity, right? Fine. Just stabilize the power for everybody to be convinced that we have constant power supply. But the prices that we are paying is not enough. So you want to come out with a new tariff. That's fine. You understand? How can you increase the price without giving me the better quality to enjoy? It's neither here nor there. They should go back and think about it and come back.
Oh, no, for me, I don't think it's good for them to increase it. Because once you are paying for the bills, you have to have the lights constantly. But when sometimes you get to the house, light is off. Sometimes the water too. Sometimes they can close the water like for a number of days. So we struggle with it. So for the increment, if they are increasing it, they should give us a good service.
And you had some views there from residents here in Accra and in Kumasi. Well, on joining us on the phone lines to speak to this matter is Director of Research and Corporate Affairs at PURC, Dr. Eric Obote. We are grateful for your time on the midday news. PURC has explained why you have to do this adjustment, but the consumer is not happy. How do you make us understand that we need value for money?
Mami, is she right?
Yes.
Hello, Mamiezi. Please, can you go over what you just said? I didn't quite get you.
So, consumers are not happy about the tariff increment. How do we get value for money?
Okay, thank you very much. The value for money, we can always get the value for money when we pay for whatever it is we are consuming. And the commission has benchmarks that we use to actually take on board the ECG and the power producers for whatever it is that they are supposed to give to consumers. And there are benchmarks which we apply in terms of system losses, in terms of technical losses, commercial losses, and the duration that power is supposed to go off for a particular consumer. So all of that, the commission is monitoring and making sure that the consumer who is paying will get value for the money that he's paying.
Well, Mr. Obote, right now as we speak, the lights are off for some people in certain areas. The water isn't flowing as it's supposed to. So how are people making these utility companies accountable? You've increased tariffs. I know the listeners are wanting to know how they're getting value for that money. That hasn't been established.
Well, if you take, for instance, these are machines that they are working with. And machines will definitely go off at a point in time. So when they go off, definitely you have to maintain them. And as they maintain them, there's always a planned maintenance and then unplanned maintenance. So for the planned maintenance, they always give you full knowledge of whatever they are going to do in about 2 weeks' time, in about a week's time, 2 hours' time. They'll give you full knowledge of that. But if it is unplanned, obviously they don't have control over the unplanned ones. So they cannot give you information pertaining to that. If it comes to quality of service, the benchmarks that we set up for them, the last time I checked, they have actually met and be compliant to some of the benchmarks. It's the system losses that we are trying to bring down, but in a large extent, the benchmarks that the commission has set for them, they are meeting the benchmarks.
Well, we understand that there'll be a major review in September. Will we be seeing these upwards again, or what's this major review about?
Well, the major review is supposed to take on board capital expenses and operational expenses. In the minor tariff, we do not consider capital expenditure. We only look at the operational expenses. But in the major tariff, where they have to submit proposals to the commission, we consider both capital expenses and operational expenses. So based on what they will submit and based on the analysis that the commission will make, that will determine what the tariff will be. As we speak, I cannot say whether the tariffs will be up or down or be the same as they are. It will just be after the numbers have been crunched and the commissioners have taken a decision on what the tariff should be that we can speak to the public on.
But Dr. Obute, you know that if there's going to be a review, it certainly is going to go up, isn't it, if they are going to consider capital expenditure in this matter?
We cannot speak for a fact that it will go up if we are going to do a review. There were times in this country that we adjusted the tariff downwards. So we can only work with what is before us. Facts and figures, that's what we'll play with. But until we get that, I cannot speak precisely and say, yes, tariffs will go up or the tariffs will reduce.
Well, we're grateful. We are very grateful for your time. Dr. Obute is with the PURC explaining the reasons for the tariff increment that we are experiencing from next month. Now, moving on, the Member of Parliament for Binduri, Isifu Mohammed Mahmood, I beg your pardon, is calling on government to urgently review its security strategy and deploy more military personnel to Boko and Binduri following the killing of two police officers. According to a statement issued by the Director of Public Affairs at the Ghana Police Service, ACP Grace Ansah Kufi, the officers were gunned down at Poyamira, a community on the outskirts of Binduri in the Upper East region, on Sunday, April 13. Before we hear from the MP, Joint News Editor Fred Smith is in the studio with me with more from that police statement. Fred, what does it say?
Well, the incident happened on Sunday, April 13, that's yesterday, at a community called Poyamira on the outskirts of Binduri in the Upper East region. According to the preliminary investigations captured in this statement, the deceased were on their private motorbikes traveling from Bongo to Binduri when they were attacked and their bikes taken from them. The names of the officers we know have been withheld as efforts are underway to properly notify their families in line with custom and tradition. The police administration, it says, expresses their deepest condolences to the bereaved families, and they also assured the public that perpetrators of the heinous crime will be arrested and brought to book.
Thank you, Fred. Meanwhile, speaking on News Desk with me, the MP from Binduri said the police alone cannot handle the escalating violence in the area. He believes they are overstretched and need urgent support from the military.
We need security presence here. The military need to take control of certain parts of Binduri. Mm. You recall that last week, when the police shot and killed the youth leader, the youth had gone rampage. They have vandalized every police checkpoint, visibility point, wherever the police used to sit, and then ensure there is security on our roads, on our neighborhood, and the lives have been destroyed, with the exception of the main police stations. That is the Boko Municipal Police Station and that of the Binduri Police Stations. And even with that, they are also under a 48 or 24-hour surveillance or guide by the military. So the police are unable to do anything of their own as far as that area is concerned. And so once the police services is more or less withdrawn or suspended for now, one would have expected that more military men would have been deployed to cover up the very places that were mounted by the police to ensure there is security in the area. And that has not been done.
And we had the MP for Binduri, Isifu Mahmood. Now let's go on the phone lines and speak to my colleague Albert Sori, who joins us from the Upper East region. Albert, what's the current situation in the area?
Obviously, things have been calm for now. We haven't heard of any new disturbances, but you get the sense that people feel there is some sort of insecurity looking at what has happened. And also, if you talk to some of the junior police officers, they feel that despite the fact that they are saying the two officers who were killed may have been attacked by robbers, they feel that there is more to it than meets the eye, considering everything that had happened last week.
Mm. Well, there have been concerns about security in the area. Do we have any, are there any changes? Are there more boots on ground following the killing of the two policemen?
Exactly. We're learning that there are more police and military patrols today. But, I mean, most of the time, the concentration is on Boko. So it is not as tight as you would usually see in Boko Central. but there are some security patrols in the neighboring areas, especially in Binduri as well.
I know you've been hearing reactions from junior police officers, but what about the public, the residents in the area? What have they been saying?
They feel that this whole thing may just be getting out of hand, because it appears that, looking at what happened last week, some of the Kutasi youth who went on rampage may have been giving the signal that they are not really scared of the security apparatus. And now we have two police officers killed. And though the police have told us that they are not related, people just feel that something isn't just right and maybe things are getting out of hand.
All right. Thank you so much, Albert Sorries, our man on the ground, giving us updates on what's happening in Binduri and Boku as well. We'll get more in subsequent bulletins. Now, moving on, in the capital here in Accra, it's been revealed that there is a high possibility of disease outbreak as the Accra Metropolitan Assembly declares all landfill sites full. This revelation was made to the Committee on Sanitation and Water Resources, who is on a working visit in assemblies in the Greater Accra region. Listen to Engineer Solomon Noy on the challenges the AMA is facing in managing waste in the capital.
Be given to a consultant so that we get another land engineered landfill site to be sited at Aida in the Gansaf municipality. That is the only one I know. But for this particular dam site, no. It is a privately managed dam site by the Jospon group of companies. We used to dump at a place called Insumia. Insumia is in the Gan West also, after Blue Skies. You go a bit deep. It is it was a quarry site. Once we filled the depression, we have to move to where we are now, which is the Insawam. Insawam and Duajiri was using it as their dam site, and then it turned into a national or Greater Accra dam site.
And that was Engineer Solomon Noy, but we apologize for that poor quality of sound. Our reporter James Averji is with them and joins us on the line. James, one more, can you report?
Oh, Mami, so the committee is currently at the Kole Klote Constituent Municipal Assembly, where they are going to engage with the sanitation workers here on the challenges they are facing. The committee's tour is essentially to abreast themselves with the sanitation challenges across the national capital and how to deal with it. We would interest you to know that these challenges is beyond landfill site as we speak. Out of about 15 assemblies that are supposed to manage the sanitation site, a number of the dumping site in the market and the community centers currently do not have the dumping containers, which is one major challenge. The assemblies are calling for a review of the sanitation improvement plan, which is currently sitting at the ministry. They want the assemblies to take full charge of the management of sanitation across the assemblies.
Well, James, are there any solutions being proffered for this situation?
The major solution is the decentralization of the management of the waste across the assemblies. And as we speak, the previous Ministry of Sanitation is the one that manages, gives contracts to Zoom Lion and other waste management entities, where the assemblies are not able to supervise their work done. And so they want the work to come to their doorstep so that they can have full hand in the management of this.
Thank you so much, James Averji. Now, tragedy struck the Ashanti regional capital, Kumasi, on March 21, when a devastating fire ravaged the Idum PZ market, leaving more than 2,000 traders reeling from the loss of their livelihoods. 3 weeks after the misfortune, the traders returned to their trading spaces, but the conditions that led to the fire persist, setting the stage for another catastrophe. Nana Wachi Yadom visited the market and has filed this report.
Things are burning. People who have shops here, including the youth, are losing their money. It was like any other Friday dawn at the Edum PZ market in Kumasi, until a sudden alarming sight turned the commercial area into a scene of chaos.
The fire started at 4 a.m. with an explosion from the top floor of a story building. Within minutes, the flames spread rapidly across the market, consuming shops and goods in its path. I've lost millions of cities from this fire this morning. This is very worrying. We are losing everything. We need the fire service to come to our aid right now. Everything is burning. Everything is burning. The arrival of firefighters was a moment of hope for those witnessing the blazing fire, but the situation quickly turned grim. Access of the fire tender to clustered container shops was severely restricted due to the market's cramped layout. Without proper paths for the fire trucks to reach the epicenter of the blaze, the fire quickly spread unchecked.
Fire service, it's been doomed jada because helicopter,
With investigations ongoing, the traders piece together the potential causes of the blaze, and among the primary suspects are the use of gas cylinders, faulty electrical appliances, and the intermittent power cuts.
Some people, they have collected so many loans. Please, why is it that the fire service, you cannot just off the fire for us?
The billowing smoke and the crackling sounds of burning structures could be seen. President John Mahama and local authorities visited the scene, worried about the outbreak. We have to carefully look at our market structure. The sounds you hear are explosions of gas cylinders. We shouldn't be cooking at the markets. The Ashanti Regional Commander of the Fire Service, ACFO2, Peter Tete, bemoaned the lack of equipment by fire service to curb fire. He indicated that over 417 fires have occurred in the first quarter of 2025.
Available data shows that the command has recorded 417 fires in the first quarter of 2025, as against 444 in the year 2024 within the same period.
3 weeks after the fire, many of the affected vendors have returned to the marketplace, hoping to restart their lives. At the moment, we have gone to make sales because we need money to feed our children. However, checks indicate that the central business district of Edum PZ remains the same, overcrowded, poorly ventilated, and lacking any significant changes to prevent another fire. In an already cramped market, these conditions form a ticking time bomb, one that many say is waiting to explode again. The Edum PZ is indeed a wake-up call. The tragic event not only exposed the hazardous conditions of the markets, but also highlighted the glaring gaps in fire prevention infrastructure and safety protocols. While traders, government officials, and experts call for swift action, the reality is that these issues have persisted for years.
Nanabachi Nyandom with that report. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break, return with sports, and also a new CDD report reveals that winning presidential and parliamentary elections cost approximately $150 million
now, and
$10 million CDs, warning that the increasing monetization of the electoral process is undermining efforts to combat corruption.
Now, these financial burdens create a perverse incentive for office holders to want to recoup campaign expenditure through corrupt means.
Welcome back to the Midday News. It's time for sports.
Thank you very much, Mamisi. So, police ladies will play in the final of the Women's Premier League after finishing top of the Southern Zone ahead of defending champions Hazakes Ladies. Police ladies will now face Ampem Dakuan Ladies, seeking their first ever league title. Lawrence Beidou has more.
Police cemented their place at the top of the table following their hard-fought 2-0 win over Epiphany Warriors on the final day. It will be the first time the security side are making the final of the top flight after finishing above defending champion Sazakes Ladies. Police will face Ampemdakwa Ladies in the final next month to determine the overall winner. In terms of the relegation, Sunshining Ladies and Supreme Ladies were the relegated teams from the Northern Zone, while Berry Ladies also suffered casualty in the Southern Zone. The fate of Halifax Queens and Faith Ladies will be decided in the relegation playoff.
So that's it for sports. Mami Esi, back to you.
Thank you very much. Now, a new report by the Center for Democratic Development, CDD Ghana, has revealed alarming figures about the cost of winning elections in Ghana, raising red flags over the future of democratic governance and the country's fight against corruption. According to the report, securing victory in presidential and parliamentary elections now require an estimated $150 million and an additional 10 million Ghana cedis. The report attributes this steep price tag to the growing monetization of the electoral process, a trend it warns is entrenching corruption and weakening accountability in public office. Director of Programs with CDD Ghana, Dr. Koju Pumpuni Asante, at a presentation before the Constitutional Review Committee, says the trend is alarming and offers proposals to address the menace.
So you have to start with electing leaders with integrity and orienting them towards the public interest. The orientation towards public interest addresses the development point. We cannot leave the business of eternal party to the parties themselves to regulate. Disqualification from contesting for public office where there are breaches, clear requirements of asset declaration for candidates, because that's the other thing that our provision tend to look at the party and not candidates. And we have to remember they are also independent candidates and so on. So you then have to look at the other side. Who are the regulators of the internal party space? And that's where you come to the Electoral Commission and the process of public elections. So Chapter 7 on the representation of the people, we have to look at governance arrangements for the EC.